is Padres 360, and we are here talking to former Padre Rod Gasper. Rod, I'd like to thank you for your time.
Oh, my pleasure, Wayne. Go ahead, fire away.
Okay. Going back, you were drafted by the Mets in 1967, and you ended up finally making their major league roster in 1969, which is, of course, the miracle season for the Mets. Talk a little bit about that season, and probably what is your proudest moment of your major league career?
Well, I signed out of Lomi State, as you said, 1967. I was drafted by the Mets the previous year, but I decided not to sign. They had offered me $10,000, which was more money than my parents had ever seen, and I just said, I was back to school, and which I did. My parents were a little upset that I didn't take the bonus money, but I knew eventually I would sign. So when they signed me the next year, let me go back a little bit. 66 when they drafted me, I wanted $20,000.
Okay.
And they offered me 10, but I was like a 15th round draft choice, okay?
Okay.
So, and now what do they get about for 15th round? They probably get $200,000. But anyways, so the next year they draft me again, which is, a lot of clubs don't do that. And so this time I was their number two pick. And so I figured, heck, I'll get my $20,000 this year. So they drafted me. Two guys came over. Dee Fondi, who was a former Major League ball player, and Nelson Berbrink, who was their scouting director, and ended up in the front office. After signing guys like me and Gentry and, a number of other guys. So they come to the house, and so I figured, we'll get $20,000, this time. And their interview was, they're talking to me, and they offered me $10,000 again. I said, I'll be the number two pick.
Boy.
So we went back and forth, and they wouldn't budge. But see, those guys are smart, and they know when you're ready to go out and play. They knew I was ready to sign. So they ended up giving me like $12,000, and, I was their number two pick. So from there, I went to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, had a good year, and that was Double-A Eastern League, and, played well. And Gary Gentry was their number three pick, I think, that year. He was college player of the year at Arizona State, who won the college dual championship that year in 1967. Ended up being my roommate later on. But he was number three pick, and he got $20,000.
Oh,
and you're a better negotiator than I am, Gentry. But anyway, so, I played at Williamsport that year, and the next year in Memphis, Tennessee, Double-A ball. Both of them were Double-A. They moved their Double-A from Williamsport to Memphis, the Texas League. It was kind of funny, Wayne, because in 1967, when I went to Williamsport, they told me, first thing they said was, you'll be playing right away. Well, that's the first lie I heard in baseball. I didn't play for a week, and I was going nuts because I was hyper. I wasn't used to sitting on the bench. Finally, they put me in center field where I normally played, and replacing a guy who they said was a gold glover, silver glover type outfielder in center field. I was watching this guy play the outfield. I can see why he doesn't make any errors. He doesn't go for anything. He's just very conservative out there. So anyway, I took over there, and I ended up hitting in the top 10 in the Eastern League that year. And I hit .260. Now that doesn't sound very good in the top 10 in Double-A ball, but there's only one 300 hitter in that league that year. It was Bernie Smith, who was on our team. And unfortunately, Mets or nobody else ever gave him a shot at the big leagues. So Bernie hit 300, but I was in the top 10 hitting .260. Next year, they moved their Double-A club from Williamsport to Memphis, Tennessee. And I was ticked about that because I thought I should be in AAA, but they sent me back to AA. And I ended up leading the league in hits. I think I had 160 hits, and I hit about .310, which is 50 points higher than in Williamsport. But actually, Wayne, I thought I had a better year in Williamsport hitting than I did in Memphis, even though I hit 50 points higher, because it was such a tough, the Eastern League was such a tough league to hit in. Old ballparks, bad lights. And the Texas League was, it was a newer ballparks, better lights, and But anyway, so, you know, from there, I got a big league, I was put on the major league roster in 1969 with the idea that I didn't know about then, that they, you know, they didn't plan on even using me at all in spring training. And I was didn't like that either. I didn't like a lot of things, but what are you going to do? And I remember sitting in the stands one day in spring training in 1969, and I was sitting next to Wes Stock, who was our minor league pitching coach, a good guy. He ended up being a major league pitching coach. I think he played in the big leagues, and just good guy, did great batting practice. I was sitting next to Wes watching the Mets play somebody in spring training. And I'm looking out the outfield. They got Sabota out there, and Tommy Agee, and Cleon, Gerald Archansky.
Solid outfield.
Yeah, very good.
Solid outfield.
What's that?
I said a solid outfield.
Very solid. And they all had experience in the big leagues. They had all played at least two or three years. And I'm a rookie, and I'm looking out there. I said, you know, I'm better than any of those guys. You know, that's the kind of attitude you have to have. You have to think you're the best guy out there. And I said, you know, I can outplay. I can play those guys and this and this. And because I was, you know, I didn't want to sit in the stands and watch a major league team play. I wanted to be on the field. Well, it just so happens that my buddy Art Shansky, he had a history of back problems. In fact, Art is out here right now in Southern California. I saw him yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Out here for some other reason. But Art got hurt his back. So the Mets were going on a road trip in spring training, and Art couldn't go, so Gil Hodges, our manager, who should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Tremendous manager and player. Tremendous manager and player.
Really. He was great. And he, you know, he took me on the road trip. They started me. You know, they started me in the outfield, I think right field. And I went on started going on a 14-game hitting streak in spring training. And they had to keep me. You know, they had planned before to send me out to AAA and not even give me a shot. But since Art got hurt, I got a chance to play and played well and, you know, stayed with the club for the 69th season. And as you know, the Miracle Mets, as we were called, the Amazing Mets, and I'm sure other names, we were 100-1 shot to win the World Series that year, according to Vegas odds, I think. 100-1. And we started off slowly. The first game of the year, the Mets had never won an opening game in their history, which was 1969, was their seventh year in pro ball in the National League. And the first game of the year, we ended up losing, I think 9-8 or 10-9. And I had a good game. I was hitting second, playing right field. I drove in a run, got a couple of hits. I think stole a base, scored a run. And I was up in the bottom of the ninth inning with a tying run on second. And some guy named Carol Sombrero, I never forget his name. I'd never faced him before. And he has this sinker ball. I just watched it. I said, wow, he really has a good sinker. But, you know, that's okay. And he ended up striking me out to end the game, my first big league game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is no fun, but man, I tell you, he threw me. I swung and missed. Now, when I swung at a ball, I usually foul it off or hit it, but that ball broke so much, it just sunk away from me. But, hey, you know, that's all right. From there, you know, we were kind of so-so going on through the season and end up in, being pretty close to the lead. But by, I think it was August, coming up the middle of August, we went and played in Houston Astros at the Astrodome, and ended up getting swept by them, and we ended up being like nine and a half games out at that point. And of course, everybody wrote us off at that time. Now, in that year, in 69, we had every National League team we played outside of Houston, we won the season series. And against them, I think we had 3 wins and 9 losses. I mean, they just had our number. You know,
there's always one club, no matter how good or bad or whatever, that ends up having that magic against you during a season, and then you just beat your head against a wall. The Padres just had that with the A's. A's were playing horrible. They came in and just tore the cover off the ball, and it's like, how'd that happen? It's like,
I know. It's baseball. You know, you don't know. They had a great pitching staff, Larry Durker and What was Wilson's name? Larry Wilson?
Don Wilson?
Don Wilson, yeah. Tom Griffin. I mean, they have some guys that get trouble heavy, you know, just like a lot of clubs. But, yeah, we couldn't take care of them. So, we go back to New York, and we're nine and a half out, and I think the Padres came in, and we swept them. Dodgers, Giants came in, we beat them 2 out of 3, and we got on a winning streak and made up those 9.5 games and end up winning our division, which was the first year of division play in baseball. And we ended up beating the Cubs by 9.5 games. I think we were like 38-7 or some ridiculous number like that in those last number of games we played at the end of the season.
My gosh.
I mean, we blew by the Cubs. They had no chance. And, you know, Leo DeRocher was their manager, and he wore those older guys out. They're all older than us. Wow. You know, and I mean, but they had an all-star infield, had Billy Williams in the outfield, and I mean, they had a very good ball club, but they were older, they got tired, and, you know, he wore them out.
But I remember reading, reading about, it was Ron Santo talked about that basically, you know, a lot of those guys at the end of the season just were running out of gas, and they weren't getting, you know, any time and any days off or wherever. They're just playing a lot.
Oh, yeah, he never... Yeah, DeRocher never. The only position he switched was center field. And then one guy, I forget the guy's name, Don Young or something, he messed up a ball hit, and DeRocher hammered him and replaced him with somebody else. But they had a set outfield. I think Jim Hickman was in left field, and Billy Williams in right field, and of course, Ernie Banks, first base, and Kessinger, George Stoff, and Beckert second, and Santo third, and Hundley catching. I mean, that's a good ball club.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you got Ferguson pitching and Holtzman and Billy Hands. I mean, they had a good club, but, you know, they laughed at us like everybody else. Said, you know, we're going to beat the Mets, but nobody could. So we end up winning that, and then we go to play against the Braves, Atlanta Braves, for the National League Championship. And, of course, we're underdogs against them. And we beat them at 3 straight in the hitters matchup. Because they thought it would be mostly a pitching duel, the pitching staff we had. But they hit our pitchers good, but we hit their pitchers better. So we swept the Braves, got the World Series against Baltimore, and of course, they were really cocky. And
Frank Robinson and all those guys, yeah.
They were mouthing off and this and this. And I remember, you know, I was being interviewed after the playoffs, I mean, after the games against Atlanta, I think it was, and I said, we're going to win in 4 straight, meaning the World Series. I'm a young punk rookie, mouthing off like
right.
That, which is stupid.
Yeah, nobody ever does it. Nobody does that.
Yeah. Just mouthing off. Probably had too much champagne, I don't know, but then the Orioles got a hold of that, and Robinson, he started mouthing off, and who is Ron Casper? You know, who is this guy? So they were getting all over me about it, which is fine. We ended up winning, you know, the first game of the series, the World Series. We lost the first game, but we ended up winning the next 4. And so after the World Series, some guy interviewed me again, same guy, I guess. And I said, I didn't say which 4 we'd win it in. So we did win it 4 straight. We just happened to lose the first one.
Well, you want to give them 1 to basically make them feel a little bit good, because you were about ready to just slaughter them. You know, you were gonna let them know that people like Nolan Ryan and Tom Seaver can hold their own against anybody that the Orioles were throwing, and they had a pretty good staff.
Anybody, those are the best. Those two guys. Who wants to hit against them? You know, Ryan and Seaver. You know, but they had a great staff. In fact, the next year their 4 starters each won 20 games. It was 70 or 71. I forget what year. I think it's 70, but it might have been 71. Cuellar, McNally, Palmer, and Dobson. I think Pat Dobson. They each won 20 games as starters. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of baseball.
I think it is the one and only time, and it certainly is probably not a record that in modern day baseball is going to be broke, because there's too many.
Oh, no.
The structure of the game is so different. So from 69 or even past that, what do you think, what is your proudest moment of your major league career? And then we'll get into the Padre part and playing with the Hawaii Islanders.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously being on that World Championship team and scoring the winning run in the fourth game of the World Series. You know, we just had such a great team. I mean, the games, you know, we won the close games. I think the closest game we had was 5-3, and that was the last one we played. But most games were one-run games. But we just had a good ball club, and very good ball club. But we didn't choke. Our team batted an average like 245 or something. But, you know, we hit in clutch situations. I mean, I got to look into some of the games over the years. People send me stuff, and, you know, I could see games where I got clutch hits or drove them to tying or winning run. And, you know, that's just how we played. And we didn't make any errors. Great defensive club. Of course, we had the, you know, probably, if not the best, one of the best pitching staffs in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just such a pleasure playing with those guys. I mean, you know, I still see them occasionally. Art Chansky, I'll talk to on the phone quite a bit. And then Bobby Fowle and Ken Boswell and Sobolda, you know, Ron Sobolda and I will talk every so often, and just a good group of guys. I just wish I could see them more often, but obviously that 1969 year for me, you know, there's other highlights, of course, like me, I threw out the winning run at Candlestick Park against the Giants in a game that we had a McCovey, Willie McCovey was hitting, and I was playing left center field, you know, way over. AG's in right center, and Sobolda's down the right field line, and Tug McGraw's pitching, he throws McCovey a screwball low and away, and the guy hits a 9-iron down the left field line, Wayne. Okay, now think about that. I took off as soon as the ball was hit, knowing there's a winning run on first, and I took off as soon as it was hit, and the ball was hit, it was hit about 330 down the line, so it was hit probably, you know, maybe 315, 320 when it came down. It just stuck in that grass there. And I just went over, pivot, grabbed it with my bare hand, pivoted, and I threw a strike to Grody from there. They talk about Bo Jackson's throw, and I'm not bragging on me.
Oh, I understand.
This guy from the A's made a throw. Well, you know, Jackson's throw was great. And they used to talk about he threw it from a warning track. Well, it wasn't quite from the warning track. You know, mine was about the same distance, so I threw this guy out at home. And it surprised Jerry Grody, our catcher, so much. And he's a very heads-up player. He was shocked. He took the ball and rolled it back to the pitcher's mound because he thought there was three outs. But there was only two outs. And Don Glendinnen, who was our first baseman, heads-up ball player, he realized that. He picked up the ball, and McCovey was going to third. He threw the third, and Bobby Fowle tagged out McCovey for an inning double play in the ninth inning. Next inning, Glendinnen gets up, hits a home run, and we win the game. So, just things like that. You know, we had a no-hitter thrown against us during that streak, but the next day we come back and win a doubleheader. In one doubleheader, we played against Pittsburgh, who was a very excellent, probably the best hitting team in baseball. Our starting, and no, but not many people know this. You might use this as a quiz sometime.
Okay.
Our starting pitchers in each game, Wayne, drove in the only run of the game. Jerry Kuzman in one game got a base hit, drove in the run, 1-0, we won. Don Cardwell in the other game, he drove in the only run, we won that one, 1-0. First, I don't think that's ever happened in the history of baseball.
Wow.
Cardwell could hit, though. I mean, he could hit home runs, he could hit. Kuzman wasn't a good hitter at all. But, you know, he got a base hit that game. We won both games, 1-0. I mean, that's just the kind of year we had. And, you know, we had some, you know, very good ball players who knew how to play the game. And Gil ran it like a business, and he didn't have to tell us anything. We knew what our jobs were, what we had to do. And that year, in the National League, as far as defense is concerned, I led the National League in double plays for outfielders. I think I had six, and I had like 12 assists, you know, from the outfield. So I loved playing defense. It was fun. In fact, in Hawaii, when we were there, they did a story on me, and they called me, a lot of my defensive play, but they called me Rocket Rod because of my arm. But I love the throw. I love playing the outfield. But I like to hit, too. Hitting was fun, too. So, anyway, that's a surmise of the time with the Mets.
Well, let me go ahead. We're going to transition to